Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
Score update studio brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants. Do that today, 6:45 tonight, right here on The Score. Bulls at the Bucks. Casey Johnson waiting in the wings to tell us all about it. Last night, week 8 of the NFL started out west in L.A. Rams got the best of the Vikings, 30-20. Bears prepping for the Commanders, 3:25 kick on Sunday. Tonight at the UC, Blackhawks, Predators. Game 1 of the World Series in L.A., Dodgers, Yankees. This hour brought to you by Cars for Kids.
And now, KC Johnson.
Kobe White, pull up three over Karis LeVert and nails it.
Chicago Bulls insider from Chicago Sports Network.
I've covered the NBA for a long time.
KC Johnson with Mullin Haugh.
Bulls.
On 670 The Score.
Mullin Haugh, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our friend KC Johnson. He joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. KC, of course, doing a great job. And he's going to help us steer through whatever is going on with the Chicago Bulls. Morning, KC. How are you, buddy?
What's going on? Good morning, guys.
Well, you know, I like the idea that they're saving Lonzo for the home game. I think that's a nice thing for the fans. It might be nice for him. The crowd seemed very energized and gave him a standing O when he made his preseason appearance. I think it'll be good for him and hopefully for the Bulls to get him against Oklahoma City on Saturday.
Yeah, and as a quick aside of that, we were talking to Lonzo the other night in New Orleans. I mean, he's chill about all this, so he doesn't really care. But I thought it was a little odd that not only did he not get acknowledged when he checked into that game by the public address announcer, but the fans didn't really seem to notice much. And that makes it even odder, given that he spent two productive seasons there. Yeah. I just thought it was such a big moment for the NBA. I thought New Orleans kind of missed an opportunity there. And, you know, we were joking with Lonzo about it afterwards. Who, like I said, he doesn't really – he's kind of over all this. He's just focused on staying healthy and playing basketball. But it was certainly something to note that we talked to him about.
It seemed as nonchalant as he comes across sometimes. Just a very much in stride with everything else that's going on. So, Casey, obviously you were at that game in the opener. It was disappointing with 21 turnovers and the way that – the Bulls threw that one away. I just wonder, it's only one game. It is the opener. Was it a big step back? How would you evaluate what exactly that meant in terms of the start to this season?
I mean, again, one game caveat. But, you know, what I saw is, you know, this is a team that is trying to play a completely different style. And that commitment to that style was there. Obviously, the execution was not there. But I believe, you know, I haven't checked last night's games, I believe it was like the fastest paced game of the opening games. And, you know, this is a team that played at a very slow pace the last few seasons, you know, since Lonzo went down. So that's what I was asking, you know, Josh Giddey, Lonzo in the postgame locker room about, you know, like, did you see like that same commitment to style there? And they all said they did. They obviously know they need to execute better. So, you know, defensively, I think, you know, you can take a snapshot of that first play and that breakdown and that opening dunk to Daniel Theis. And, I mean, Billy's been detailing his concerns about defensive concerns since he went on the preseason with you guys. So I think that's going to be a storyline all season. But I didn't see it as a massive step back just in terms of how they achieve what they want to do stylistically on the offensive end. They just need to obviously execute better.
Will the rotation tighten up? I mean, he used, I think, 11 players in the game. Because they're moving so fast and because Lonzo is in one game out the next, is he the 10th guy? Will there be kind of a 9-man rotation eventually? And how does that fit together?
Yeah, it'll be fluid. I was surprised he played 11. I mean, I predicted a 10-man rotation and, you know, I had Bouzelis in there, and then when he wasn't one of the 10, I was like, okay, I'm wrong. But then he came in, he was the 11th. So, I think it'll be probably back down to 10 tonight with Bouzelis in for Ball. But, you know, you never know. And, look, Billy, most coaches would prefer to play, have a 9-man rotation. But Billy has talked to you guys and to us about, you know, stylistically, the way they want to play. best condition team, playing faster, shorter stints, getting up and down, lots of possessions. And given the number of players they need to develop, I can see him sticking to a 10-man rotation for the majority of the season. So, you know, the season is as much about development as anything else. We have to always remember that. And the more guys you play, the more minutes you get out there for some of these young guys, the better for the future. May be some short-term pain, and I think, you know, with the expectations surrounding this team, I think those are going to be real. But that's kind of the overall and overarching philosophy.
So when you talked to Bezelis, how nervous did he say that he was? Let's hope it was a lot, because that wasn't very impressive.
Boy, that first three, yikes.
Well, yes and no. I mean, yes in the sense that it was, you know, 7 feet long and an egregious air ball. No, in the sense that he fired and took the right shot. I mean, some guys would shrink in that moment. So I always look at, like, are you taking the right shots? Make or miss league, you put that to the side. Obviously, you want to make more than you miss. But, you know, that's less what coaches are focused on than are you taking the right shot? Because you pass up an open shot, I can't tell you how many times it leads to a guy having to force a shot at the end of the shot clock. And
right.
He took the right shot. So, look, he's always said, I'm just focused on getting better the next game. He's got a short memory. You know, obviously had the high-profile minutes against Giannis in the preseason. I don't know if they'll throw him out there against him tonight. But I certainly know if they do, he'll at least be ready and willing for the challenge, because that's kind of this kid's mentality.
It's a really good point. I remember Jordan saying back in the day that he always remembered who threw him the ball as the shot clock was expiring. Like, he was always well aware of when somebody was like, you try it. It just gave it that he'd have to take, you know, a shot he might not have preferred, but he'd hit half of them.
Yeah, no, that's what coaches focus on. You know, are you taking the right shots? And, you know, I don't remember I remember two of the three. I don't remember the third shot off the top of my head. I'd have to look at the box score or the running. But, you know, two of the three shots were right in rhythm, right on time, the right shots. And that's what you're looking for, especially from a young player.
I think you can accept that because he's a rookie and all those things about development are true, KC. But I wonder, as we go kind of down the roster of guys who we only are evaluating after one game, Coby White had to be as disappointed as anybody because of what the expectations are for him this year and because of how that game went for him.
Yeah, he was involved in that defensive game plan breakdown on that opening play that I mentioned, that with the Tice dunk to start the game. Offensively, you know, obviously didn't shoot it well. I think he went 0-for-5 from three. What I did tweet, and, you know, what speaks to his kind of growth as a player, is he recognized this three ball wasn't falling. He didn't take a three after that. He kept attacking the rim, and he started to have some success getting to the rim. Where he was most upset and where the coaches were most upset was he was one of the bigger offenders for the, you know, one-legged, Billy called him the one-legged jumping in the air and not knowing where you're going to go with the ball. I mean, he drove in several times and just jumped near the basket and twisted and looked for a player and more often than not committed a turnover. He had four, Zach had seven. So, yeah, I mean, Coby's a straight shooter. He knows when he didn't play. I didn't talk to Coby post-game, but you don't need to talk to a guy like that. He knows that he didn't play well and obviously looking for a bounce-back game tonight.
So we mentioned that that they didn't seem to notice Lonzo down in New Orleans. They did notice Josh Giddey. Is he a proper villain? I don't think I knew that he was a proper villain. They booed him.
Yeah, so I watched League Pass. I was a big Thunder League Pass guy last year, so I was kind of aware of this dynamic. You know, I'm told it stems sometimes, it's mostly Western Conference based. I mean, I'm generalizing here because I'm new to this story, but it's mostly Western Conference based, partly rooted in him and the Thunder torching opponents, and partly rooted, quite frankly, in his legal or his off the court issues, which you know never went to never progressed to a legal status. Both the local police department out there and the NBA opened investigations and cleared him of any wrongdoing. So, you know, Josh was very forthright in our questions about it. He said he was actually having to explain it to some teammates because he said it probably is going to happen elsewhere. It didn't happen much in the preseason, so I think that's why it caught everybody off guard. And like I said, I'll be curious tonight if in the Eastern Conference arena it happens as much as it did. You also have to remember the Thunder eliminated the Pelicans last year. So I don't know, I didn't go around interviewing the fans, but it certainly was notable and something we asked Josh about post game. And, he took the high road. He's very good with the media, but I mean, how can you not notice that? How could it not get to you at some point?
Does seem very good with the media, KC. He's very young, but seems very polished. But at some level, do you think, how much does this bother him, and how much will it continue maybe to follow him?
I think, he keeps saying it is what it is. I mean, I don't know the guy well enough to go into his psyche, so I'm not gonna go there. What I would say is, when it's that loud and I'm that consistent, we're all human beings at the end of the day, right? So I would speculate that it's, whether it's annoying or aggravating or angering, I don't know. I'm not going to project any of those feelings on him again because I don't know him well enough. What I would say is, just as a human being, I would think that one of those three elements would creep into play at some point. We'll see if it's as season long as it was last year with the Thunder, because it was something that was noted for the Thunder last year as well, and is new to the Bulls land.
I am very curious to see that game. In fact, I would say I'm more curious to see how he plays against that team than how he does against the Bucks. I mean, I want him to do well. I'd love it if he could learn to score a little bit. He doesn't seem like a great shooter, but I must say that is a very interesting dynamic to play against a championship caliber team that got rid of you. It's just a really interesting dynamic. I hope he's very confident against them.
Yeah, several, and not only that, but then the return of Alex Caruso. My junior in high school had some homework to do last night, and my wife was yelling at him, and I'm like, he's got to see Alex Caruso check in. It was hilarious. we were locked into that game, and man, Caruso, I watched like the first three possessions he was on defense. The dude like runs like 5 miles every possession. It's incredible. But I digress. Look, the thing you got to remember about Josh is, they didn't give up on him. He asked to be traded. Well, I mean, let me rephrase that. When they talked about potentially bringing him off the bench or a diminished role or a different role for him because of the emergence of SGA.
Yes.
He and his representative, said, hey, can we work to try to find a different situation here? And Sam Presti has been very open about that. Josh Giddey's been very open about that. So I think Josh is, obviously has fond feelings for Oklahoma City, speaks very highly of that organization, but there's no ill will there. And then Caruso is such a veteran. He'll know it's part of the business. And look, he's in a fantastic situation. That team looked dynamite last night in Denver.
They're very good. So, and don't they have the next 50 draft picks in order?
Something like that.
Incredible.
So, KC, you look at the Bulls the other night, and there were a couple times on the broadcast that Stacey King alluded to a loose ball being there and the Bulls not diving for it. And 50-50 balls became 80-20 in favor of the Pelicans.
Wow.
And I just wonder, as you watched the game, it is only one game, but you don't want to see effort issues cropping up any time, especially in the opener.
Well, and especially if you're playing, as we keep talking about, 10, 11 guys, shorter stints, what Billy's kind of overall mantra is, go in there, play really hard, we'll get you out. I mean, these are going to be shorter stints. Last year you had guys like DeRozan and Levine that would sometimes play a full quarter. That's not happening anymore. So to that point, absolutely it's an issue. And it's something not only did Stacey talk about on our airwaves, Chicago Sports Network, but also Billy Donovan pointed out immediately in the post-game comments. So, yes, it is an issue. I don't care if it's one game. It is an issue, and it should be an issue. You can't – if you're a young, developing, hungry team, you cannot lose 50-50 balls at the rate they did the other night, especially when you're going to be – challenged defensively all season. You've got to generate every potential possession you possibly can, and a lot of those come from 50-50 balls.
Have they explained to Patrick Williams that the season has begun? See,
well,
that was just mean.
That's mean.
That was mean.
Mully.
That was mean.
That's a shot.
I, I'm hanging up this phone and driving to Milwaukee for shoot around, and I'll pass that along to him. straight from Mully.
You okay? Tell him that the season's begun. He's a traditionally slow starter, but he kind of started slow.
I'd say three things about that. All the attention on Lonzo, and rightfully so, but you know, I made this point on the broadcast. That was Zach LaVine's first game since January 18th. That was Patrick Williams' first game since January 25th. There are comebacks for these guys too. Number two, I have question marks following his preseason performance and the opening game as well. I'd like to see more from him. And number three, and clearly a storyline that we focused in on post game. I mean, Billy closed with Adesumu over the $90 million man and your best defender. So, you know, Billy explained it that we were behind, Bulls were behind, needed driving kicks for more three-pointers. So there might be logic to it, but played 26 minutes and is on the bench in crunch time. And as one of the premier development projects on the roster, that was notable. So certainly a storyline to monitor tonight, and we'll be all over it as usual.
So Zach LaVine looked like an all-star in the first half, 19 points, and he was feeling it. And the turnovers got in the way, maybe put a damper on the fact that he was very good and looked like the guy that we have seen for most of his Bulls career. What's the biggest takeaway for him? And did he have – he didn't seem tentative, KC, for a guy who hadn't played since January. He obviously had some preseason time to kind of feel that and where his limits would be. But he looked like he just picked up where he left off.
Well, he's healthy. Everyone can say what they want about last season. He wasn't healthy. He played 20 games on a broken foot or had a broken bone in his foot and, you know, was playing through that. I would say that was largely why he was as below the rim player as he was last season. He looked like the elite efficient scorer that we'd seen the previous 2.5 seasons. Before the second half. I mean, turnovers certainly plagued that second half. And I know that Billy has talked multiple times about putting him in more catch-and-shoot situations where he is elite, and then you're taking decision-making probably more off his plate because, you know, unfortunately, Zach kind of regressed in the opening game in that area with 7 turnovers. And he also was one of those ones who would sometimes drive without a plan, and it would lead to a turnover. So, one game, obviously the best scorer on the team, one of the best scorers in the league, and needs to shore up his decision-making and his defense, and another opportunity tonight against the Bucks.
I thought the bounce in his game was back, you know, I mean, just physically,
totally.
he seemed so much healthier. And then there was a sequence where I think it was his fifth three in the first half where he step back and hit like a Steph Curry three. It was like, wow. And then, you know, he's feeling it. He gets the ball, and then he comes down into the lane, and next thing you know, the ball is just like almost going to hit the ceiling of the building. Like, what happened there? Like, it was exactly what you're saying, kind of just a weird decision and not hanging on to the ball and a bad turnover. But you couldn't help but follow that sequence where he basically got him in the game at the end of the first half.
And he makes it look so effortless when he's on one of those runs that he was. Like you said, that one step back three that was so deep. It was just so – yeah. So that's kind of the appeal and allure of Zach. And then, you know, sometimes the decision-making brings you back down to earth. And it's something I know he's focused on and upset about. Because he wants to be known as a winning two-way player. I always point to, now it's getting a little bit more in the rearview mirror, but I always talk about his role on the Olympic team and how he bought into that and took a secondary role and made kind of the winning plays. I think he can be a winning basketball player, but you need to see more evidence of that from the decision-making standpoint.
Quickly, KC, Vooch, you couldn't help but notice all of the marks from him cupping. What was that all about, and is he okay?
He looked like he mouthed off to me.
He did. He looked
what?
Yeah, I saw it in the postgame locker room. I haven't had a chance to ask him about it, okay. So I don't want to speculate. But I saw it too, and he was in very good spirits at the shoot around. Had a good game. It was his birthday yesterday. I think Vooch is doing just fine.
21-11 every
feed
night.
Feed him the ball. All right, buddy. Thank you. We appreciate
it. Safe travels.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks, man. See you.
That's Casey Johnson. Does a wonderful job.
You know, you saw Vooch.
He had the marks. Yeah, it was. Like Dustin asked us what the cupping thing was.
The treatment for him, and I think he's fine. He looked fine.
It's for blood flow.
Yeah, he looked like he was in the flow.
Yeah, they need to get him the ball more, especially early.
Okay, Stacy.
Yeah, all right.
Stacy keeps saying.
We want to let you know the Bulls and the Blackhawks have a new TV home. It's the Chicago Sports Network. You're watching it right now, if you're watching us. Tonight, the Bulls take on the Milwaukee Bucks at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow night, the Bulls' home opener is on CHSN at 7 p.m., the Blackhawks take on the Dallas Stars on CHSN Plus at 7 p.m. as well. So you can catch all the action on the Chicago Sports Network.
Grody time next.
Grody time next. Oh, I love Mark Grody. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Hold on.
It's Grody time, and that means it's time for Mark Grody with Mully and Haw.
Bears.
On 6-7 of the score.
With the great man himself, Mr. Handsome, Mark Grody, joins us now on the Arturo Tire Hotline. The one guy with the one song, Arturo, your hometown tire, Arturo.com.
Grody, what's with the Notre Dame hat?
I just like the way I look in this hat. And excuse me, it's actually not a Notre Dame hat, Haw. You just jump to conclusions like you do. It is a Shamrock Shuffle hat. So you are wrong.
There's no way you ran 8.1. Okay.
You're right about that. The only thing I've pulled off running wise in my life, I did once pull off a 5K, and that's when I was dating somebody who was into the 5K. We were a 5K couple because it's really cute when you're a couple and you run races together. But those days are over. So you're right. It's just a hat that I like that I feel like looks decently on me at this
It does.
Point.
Did she run off with some other guy?
A few weeks. I could give you guys the full. You know what? The next time there's some, maybe after the football season, I'll give you guys the full story on that.
Yeah, because you're too busy rabble rousing up there asking uncomfortable questions about the future of Nate Davis. What did you learn from your quest to find out if Nate Davis is going to be traded, Mark?
Well, at this point, it sure feels like they obviously don't want to play him anymore. He is the backup to the backup. So while nobody is biting on anything exact, I mean, I got the standard answer from Matt Eberflus and generalizing that everybody is sort of, can be victimized during the trade deadline, and this is just the business of the game. But it does say to me that nobody has shot it down, that of course they would be listening to offers on Nate Davis at this point. They have made that clear in the fact that they have benched him, and then when it's time for next man up, all of a sudden Nate Davis is suddenly not the next man up. So, and look, I was hard on Matt Eberflus when he referred to Nate Davis as a professional. And it incensed me at the time because he is the opposite of a professional in terms of being on the practice field, being ready to play, and all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So once those rumors came out from the NFL Network, which I would say is a pretty reliable source because it is the NFL, I was like, okay, makes a little bit more sense, because it wouldn't make much sense to rip on the player or to not say anything about the player that they might be interested in shopping. But what exactly are you going to get for Nate Davis at this point?
Right.
I'm curious, Mark. So the trade talk is fascinating, as is the fact that the trade day is actually election day. So, I mean, I hope they move it, the election. But
which is something they would do. Yeah, sure. Why not?
But I'm just curious, when you look at the Bears, there's been all sorts of rumors about, Khalil Herbert. There's been different. These are coming from all over the place. Meanwhile, the Bears are apparently going to go get Max Crosby or Myles Garrett or somebody. They've got, what, like $7.7 million under the cap available to them. They could manipulate and do whatever they wanted to do. But do you anticipate any kind of move, whether it be a big move, small move, in the next couple of weeks?
I mean, I can't discount it with Ryan Poles just because, you know, we saw it last year. Yeah, I mean, we saw it last year around this time. My gut is not a big move coming this year. There just hasn't been enough noise, and I know that teams will keep things quiet. There's just not enough out there in terms of the people that I have spoken to and just trying to keep my ear to everything that is happening. So my gut says no. Could there be a small move somewhere, somebody, you know, signed to come in or help out the Bears on the defensive line potentially? But my gut says no at this point, that they're pretty well set with what they want and still looking to get more out of guys like, you know, Montez Sweat, quite frankly. And I know that teams have done a very good job against Sweat, and they, you know, are chipping him and double teaming him, and he's still opening up things for other players. But look, if you're an elite, if you are paid like an elite defensive end in this league, you have to find a way to get to the quarterback still. That's what those guys do. I mean, we saw that when Khalil Mack was here, when he would slow down a little bit. And I remember him just kind of looking at us when we were interviewing and saying, I've never seen blocking like this. And that was when, you know, when you had a bunch of guys on that defense that were really good players. So I do think that they still want more from the guys that are on their team. I don't see a big move being made by the Bears.
This segment with Mark Grody brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4 Seasons. Mark, okay, you've been up there all week. You've talked to all the people involved from the Bears. What do you think the key will be Sunday? What is the most important matchup for the Bears?
Well, I mean, you could just start with the Washington is the number one scoring team in the league at 31 points per game. The Bears defense is fourth in terms of points that they allow, 16. So it's almost like both teams get to see something they haven't really seen this year, and that is a terrific offense that the Bears will see and a really good defense that Washington will have to be dealing with. I will give you one player too that concerns me a little bit in the background, I suppose you could say, for Washington, and that is their tight end Zach Ertz, who officially goes into the category of having been around forever for in this league. I mean, he's 33 years old, somehow always productive. It's not necessarily the quantity with him, it's the quality. Just going back and watching some of the Washington film, especially in the Baltimore game with Jaden Daniels at that point, and we don't know who's going to quarterback, but they really use him well as a safety outlet, and Jaden Daniels gets rid of the ball quickly to him. So it's just a guy that I would say not the biggest emphasis, but somebody to circle that maybe we're not talking about enough. Mariota used him pretty well too when they blasted Carolina last week, 40-7. So that's a little bit of a concern. And then, yeah, of course, you got to keep an eye on Terry McLaurin this year and Jalen Johnson. That's going to be a really fun matchup to watch in this game as well. So those are just a couple of things that I've circled here recently.
Do you have any insight in terms of the Bears' health? For instance, Jaquan Brisker, do you know what the concussion protocol is that he would have to pass to get back? I mean, it was interesting to hear Flusi say at the beginning of the week there were a couple of things he had to do. Now, they make a baseline of a guy, and then they can go and look at that, and he's got to clear that before medically he'd be released, but I don't know. I mean, if he gets released, maybe he's ready to go, but then you think about it, he's missed a month almost.
Yeah, my gut, Molly, is that he's not going to play. Yeah. I don't know that for sure. I mean, just kind of reading the history of players that have been in a similar position to Jaquan Brisker with the history, with Matt Eberflus being ambiguous, and I'm not faulting him for that. I mean, he said what he is hearing from the doctors, that he had a couple of tests to pass as well. No, we have not heard any kind of update on that this week since Matt Eberflus shared that with with us. Obviously, we will get a chance to talk to Matt Eberflus today, but it doesn't feel good to me for him to be playing out there. And look, I know that, you know, backups are backups, and you know, Jaquan Brisker is the better player, but for now, I think I would ride, you know, Elijah Hicks and some of the other depth in the secondary this week, because it's just, to me, while the Bears are in a position where, hey, it's about winning and they're 4-2 and headed in the right direction, but I just think it would be a risky proposition to put Jaquan Brisker back out there this week.
Okay, Mark, you have your lucky hat on.
That's
what
right.
Will your prediction be?
Shamrock Shuffle, by the way. That's what that is.
Go Irish.
I'd just like to point out again, as I always do, I have been perfect so far, and so far I have released my pick each and every week exclusively on the Mully and Haw show. Things might change now with the old Take the North, Haw. You know how the pressure builds on that.
It builds.
I got the Bears winning this game, guys. I think the Bears are going to win 21-17. It is mostly because I'm pretty convinced that Marcus Mariota is going to be the quarterback in this game. You know, I guess in my mind, it would change a little bit if Jaden Daniels was quarterbacking. But as good as Mariota was last week, and he was very good, 18 of 23, 205 yards, he's a backup quarterback in the NFL. And I know he's got a week to prepare, but the Bears will have had a week to prepare for him as well. I think the Bears do a number on Mariota this week, and the Bears do get the win to improve to 5-2.
That would be as good as the Vikings.
That would be fine. I gotta get the Bears out of last place, man. It's weird when you see the Bears sitting there at 4-2 and last place in the division. Yeah. Can't have that, Molly.
No. Great stuff, Mark. Love you dearly.
Thanks, Grody. Thank you, have a great weekend.
Yeah, bye, guys. See you soon.
Yeah, and that he was wearing his Notre Dame gear. I think you pointed that out.
Yeah, I think he claims that it wasn't. He's just a hat he likes to wear. He looks good, and he looked pretty good in that hat.
He's a good-looking
guy.
He
was dressing up for television. He's on the Chicago Sports Network.
I thought he was kind of supporting Mully by wearing some Irish gear.
I don't think he was doing that.
I think he was available.
Dave the Cat handed him the hat, and he put it on.
Does Dave wear the hat often? All right. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
I mean, I think like any other player would be, they'll be a little offended. But I mean, at the end of the day, I know it's a business. And I understand what comes with that. So I was offended, but I didn't take it personal. I don't know, man. It's many factors. And I mean, I got my first Pro Bowl. I got paid. It was a couple things that fell into that, but I mean, I'm happy just being somewhere that I'm wanted. So being a place that they want me to be here, where I got a spot.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. That's Montez Sweat.
Yes.
He's got a spot. He's got a spot as the highest paid Bear ever. He's the richest free agent that they've ever given a contract to. Again, they traded for him. They brought him in. They paid him. I think it's extraordinary that even with all the dough, $99 million deal, $99 million on the wall, he still played as relentlessly, as tough as he played before he was paid. It tells you a little something about him.
He played like he had something to prove.
Yeah.
And I remember when they made the trade, there was the asterisk sort of mentally attached to everything you said before he signed the deal. It was like, well, this is a great trade if
they get the deal.
If they can lock him up.
Yes.
Well, they locked him up. You know what happened next? Unlike some other players in his locker room and other players who we see in professional sports, he got paid and he got better.
Yeah.
He didn't get paid and exhale and say, okay, I've arrived.
Inactive list for Montez Sweat.
No.
Is that what you're saying, Mr.
He
Dick?
Hasn't been a healthy scratch once, and he won't be. He led two teams in sacks last year. That's hard to do.
And you claim he's going to do it today.
He could.
Sunday.
I don't know how he's going to do that.
That's harder to do.
It'll be fun. So he goes back, but he was offended, but he didn't take it personal. I don't know what that means, but we do know this. He will be ready to play, as ready mentally as he has been for any game this season.
I think what that means is he was offended.
Of course, it means that.
That is a guy that is a relentless, hardworking, super fast athlete.
Yeah.
who's also offended.
Okay.
I mean, that should spell a good game.
Maybe. He can resent them as long as he thanks them.
Yeah.
Because the Washington Commanders trading Montez Sweat to Chicago made his career even better. Because for whatever reason, in Washington, he wasn't realizing his potential to the extent that he has as a Bear. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think...
I think that comes as a surprise because...
I think they had a lot of high draft picks.
They had better talent
on their
collectively
line.
On the defensive
they
line.
They had real good tackles, and they had the other pass rusher who also got traded.
Chase Young.
And
Jonathan Allen.
I think...
And Montez Sweat.
Talking to people in Washington after that deal was done, and mm-hmm. I knew a lot of people out there, I was told, oh, God, they got the best guy. I can't believe they got him. I can't believe we traded him. He's by far the best one of the lot. And they had paid other people, so they weren't going to pay him. So that's why he was available. And what a great move to get a guy who, and again, if
well,
you
here's
remember.
Why. Here's why I think. Football character. And the football character stood out to the Bears and maybe made him quietly consistent in Washington. He comes to the Bears. He may be a little bit offended. He may feel like he's got something to prove, and he has a self-motivation and all the skill set to be a disruptive pass rusher.
He was coming out of college, and he tested off the charts. Mm-hmm. The guy is unbelievably fast. He runs a phenomenal time, especially for a defensive end. But he had there was a health scare. Something came up. I believe he had to go to the combine recheck. As you know, mm-hmm. they have the combine every year, and then if you flag on something, they want you back week or two before the draft to take a look at. So there was some flag of some sort, and teams were afraid, and he didn't go nearly as high as he should. But he ends up going to Washington, and he's as good as any of these guys, and the Bears pull off a trade, and I'd say it's made them a significantly better team.
It legitimized their defense.
And you asked the question earlier to Big Z whether his numbers were as good as they should have been. What's going on? I think he's blocked. I think they're going after him with 2-3 guys.
Fair enough, but I do think that you'd agree that 2.5 sacks for Montez Sweat at this stage of the season is not where you thought they would be. You thought they'd have more.
No, I did think he'd have more.
Yeah, I mean, I think the multiplier needs to add some sacks.
But I'm glad you used the word. The multiplier has helped them get sacks all over. There's a reason that everybody else is getting sacks, too.
I don't disagree. I don't want to quibble, because I think what happens is that Montez Sweat's presence, if you watch the tape and you understand what you're seeing,
right.
He makes everyone else better, as we allude to. And also, this defense, it's hard to find any aspect of it that you're seeing somebody who's underachieving. They really don't have anybody that fits that category this year so far. You can go every player, as you mentally do, you go down the depth chart. Nobody's really having a bad subpar year.
I am really looking forward to and hoping that Zach Pickens can play, and I want to see what he can do. Because I think Jervon Dexter kind of changed his body shape. He's coming into his own. He's playing well. They took the two of them in the same draft.
Well, whiteboard it for people, because they forget Zach Pickens exists because he hasn't been part of the mix.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of these guys that was drafted for depth, maybe to be disruptive, yes. As Jervon Dexter has become. Zach Pickens is like making a trade before the deadline for a defensive lineman to supply depth. So he comes in, hasn't contributed anything this season so far. He could be an asset moving forward because they want to come at teams in waves.
Yeah, I mean,
we've seen them do that with their defensive tackles. Chris Williams contributed last time out.
Yes.
You see guys who you're like, oh, well, yeah, he's still here. Oh, he's part of that mix. If you're gonna have a defense by design that has a kind of depth on the up front, this is what you need. You need guys like Zach Pickens coming in to join the party.
I think that if we were to quibble with what element of the Bears isn't as good as it was a year ago, we might talk about the run defense. And I know there's been some big runs against them, and that has kind of jacked up the statistics for the most part. And they have done a really good job of being able to score points and forcing opponents to get into pass mode, and they're not running in the same fashion.
Fair enough.
But I would say that that's something that with younger players you need to kind of develop and get better at, and they are improving in that area. But if you're quibbling, you would say you need to have a good run defense.
You quibble. Yeah, they bend, they don't break.
Yeah.
And they could be better against the run, and that comes with experience. Andrew Billings has been good at rushing the passer, but maybe not as strong against the run as he was last year. Same with Jervon Dexter. So they have some elements that you would like to improve or clean up. But
if Billings isn't stopping the run, no one is.
Yeah.
He's their run stopper.
You look at the way that the stats say that they're taking the ball away. You look at the numbers and the metrics for their pass defense. This is a top five unit right now. Scoring defense, total defense, overall impact on a game. I think the Bears can go into Washington on Sunday feeling like that is a top five defense.
It's really hard to win in the NFL. They've won three games in a row. You win four games in a row, that is a great indicator of having a successful season.
There are a lot of storylines that talk about guys and maybe what if this had happened, what if that had happened. I'm going to go through some of those when we come back.
Okay, we'll do that. We've got a lot left for you. We're going to be talking to Nick Allegretti, before we get out of here, the Super Bowl champion, now a lineman, should have been Bears, but he's with Washington. We'll get to him as well. We got a lot left for you. It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.